Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and it is now springtime, and we are closing in on March Madness, and the NBA is winding down and starting to line up those seeds, so we've got a lot to talk about. You wanted to mention Greg Popovich.
Yeah, just we want to give a shout out to Greg Popovich, one of our both of you and I's favorite coaches and favorite people. That is, he had suffered a stroke in November. Has been away from the team ever since then. He did return to the arena, talked to his players, in what was reportedly a very emotional conversation, and told them that he will not be back next year, this year, but hopes to return to coaching next season. So I want to give our best to Coach Pop.
No question about it. One of the great coaches in the NBA history. Wish him well. Speaking of the NBA, the Doncic trade is going to be talked about today with our special guest, Mike Bresnahan. Lakers had a matchup with the Mavs this last week and turned out to be victorious for the Lakers. So it seems like this transition is slowly getting off and moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it was a big win. I mean, it's been a great week for the Lakers. They beat the Denver in Denver for the first time in forever, and then beat the Mavs. And Mike's going to talk. Our upcoming guest is going to talk all about that.
And if you are a fan of women's basketball, Diana Taurasi announced her retirement after 20 years of incredible success, one of the greatest players in women's basketball history, not only in the Women's Basketball Professional League, but also at the University of UConn.
And internationally as well, six gold medals.
Six gold medals, yeah. What an unbelievable career that was. All right, and gambling's back in the news. University of New Orleans and Fresno State's men's basketball teams are both under investigation for betting scandals. What a surprise.
Yeah, it's like, what a surprise indeed. And also we should mention, too, before we hit this first break, that a friend of the show, Steve's favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who is without a team, he has reached out to the New York Football Giants to maybe come aboard. So far, no word back from the Giants if he's welcome.
Well, that's going to certainly get my attention. I'm going to be riveted to Instagram here for the rest of the day. All right. We got a lot to talk about today, and really interesting piece coming up with a guy that's been with the Lakers for 12 years, giving us his insight on the Lakers and their prospective chances to win another NBA title. And that's Mike Bresnahan. And we will be back with more of We'll See About That after this brief message. Please stay with us. All right, it's time for the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, what is on the agenda today?
You know, Ron, I was kind of thinking about what you guys were talking about with this big trade from Luka from the Mavs to the Lakers. And what do you think drove that?
Well, the simplicity of it is that you got a 26-year-old in return for trading a 32-year-old.
Okay, so an age thing.
Yes.
And maybe, would you agree that maybe the new ownership of the Mavs didn't want to write the big check?
It's very possible.
All right. So, possible. So it's kind of like an age and a timing thing as it relates to money.
Right.
Okay, well, I was thinking about that, and it's kind of the same thing that people have to think through in their own financial planning. Whether you're 30 years old or 60 years old and getting ready to retire, what you think about in terms of planning is age and timing related. For instance, a 30-year-old, when they're just starting out, or 20s and 30-year-old, they're just starting out. They're not necessarily going to think about, hey, I need life insurance to take care of my family. Most of them don't have one. But they would want to think through getting disability insurance and starting to save for retirement. As those same people get a little bit older and they start having families, now they have to start thinking about, well, taking care of a spouse if something happened to them, taking care of children if something happened to them. So as you move through life, it really is, and your, as it relates to your financial services and that which is appropriate for you to look at, it really does become an age and a timing thing. Where are you in your life cycle? Where are you in terms of, you know, where things are? Are you single with no kids and out having a good time? Are you getting married, starting having a family? Are you getting closer and ready for retirement? That all drives the type of planning that you would want to look at. So it's interesting that there's a lot of parallels between sports and I don't want to say real life, because sports is real life. But in any case, it's interesting that we can take some cues as to what we need to focus on in our financial lives by things that's going on around us in the world. So, you know, thinking through that big trade, it's an age and timing thing. People need to step back and look at where they're at, where they are in their life cycle, and think through and review their planning with that in mind.
Well said, Brad. Well said, because I remember the things that I'm thinking about today weren't the things that I was thinking about when I was 30 years old when I was trying to plan things out. So, yes, wise advice.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, Brad Kreger, and we'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this message.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we are back after the break, and we have our special guest, Mike Bresnahan, on hand. Mike will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud sponsor of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. We have a guest today that has been a sportscaster for 22 years, worked for the LA Times. He's now the Lakers beat writer. Has been doing that for 12 years. Mike, welcome to the program. How are things with the Lakers these days?
No surprise here. It's always something to talk about. And more than in quite a while, we're pretty eager and even excited to see what they can do as part of the crew at Spectrum Sportsnet. The Luka Doncic trade just completely turned not just our production upside down, but I think the city of LA, in particular Lakers fans, are really excited too. He's only been here, he's only played about a half dozen games, but he's gotten better in each and every single one. And the Lakers, once again, A, they're a good team, and B, they are a national story. So it's been a pretty active few weeks. But definitely happy to come spend time with you, because I know the Lakers are pretty good when you were playing baseball back in the Showtime era. So
yeah,
the threads kind of run here.
Yeah, well, I came in a little early. I was back in the 70s, so I was there with West and Goodrich and Wilt.
Okay.
And the rest, and Elgin, and you know, Elgin was played basketball up in the Northwest, Seattle University. I'm from Tacoma, so I got a firsthand look at him. He became a favorite player of mine, along with Oscar Robertson and Wilt. And so, yeah, I was a Laker fan once he took the reins. But this Luka Doncic trade took us all kind of by surprise. And apparently a lot of people weren't even aware that there was any transaction really moving forward, and especially Anthony Davis as well. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, the whole thing was stunning. I mean, I was at a wedding, and I started getting texts at about 9:15, and thankfully the wedding was supposed to end at 10, and thankfully also my boss did not say, Mike, why don't you come in and do some reports on this, because the wedding started at about 3. So I was enjoying myself, I think it's safe to say. My first thought was, this trade cannot be real. I mean, the Lakers are getting Luka Doncic, a top 3 player in the entire NBA, maybe top 5, if you really want to be conservative. And it also was kind of a shock, because Anthony Davis had become such a part of the Laker fabric. He'd been here a half dozen years. He's such a good player on both the offense and defense. And it's like, whoa. So who's going to be their shot blocker? But then you realize they didn't really do that trade for this season. Whatever happens this year, gravy for them. They did it for the next decade or so because LeBron James, 40 years old, still going strong. He seems really energized by the acquisition of Luka Doncic. And just having Luka, who can do so much with the ball, he reminds me a lot of Magic Johnson. I mean, I don't want to put that out there and say he's the next Magic or anything crazy like that. But I do sit next to James Worthy and Byron Scott on occasion on game nights. And both those guys are like, whoa. You know, they call him Luka Magic, as do other people, because some of the passes he does on the court are just so reminiscent of what the Showtime Lakers were all about. And it's been fun to watch. Now, they still have the defensive question. Who's going to get the rebounds? Who's going to block the shots? Because Anthony Davis was always a top five defensive presence, especially around the rim. But for now, I mean, the Lakers, as they always seem to do, maybe not every year or even every other year, but every handful of years, they seem to acquire that big name superstar. And now they hooked an international superstar for a long, long time. He turns 26 this week. He's got a lot of basketball runway left ahead of him, no doubt.
Well, you know, the one thing about Luka for me is that he seems to have the game slow down to his pace.
Yeah.
He kind of controls how he's going to do things, and you're going to have to adjust to that. That seems to be a real plus because I know as a veteran player, once the game starts to slow down for you, then you've pretty much got your focus and you know exactly, you know, what you need to be doing on a consistent basis. The part that with Anthony Davis, you know, I just felt that it looked from a distance like they just couldn't rely on him to stay healthy enough. Mm. And I don't know if that's a fact or not, but they also questioned Luka's conditioning as well. And I don't know if that's just stuff that goes around when it's time to be traded or not. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a great point. And the truth is, you know, Anthony Davis, look, he played 76 games last season. He only missed six. That's a banner year for him.
Mm-hmm.
In the year they won the championship in 2020, in the bubble championship in Orlando, he missed very little time that year as well. But in between, and historically in his career, he's got the label of being a fragile player. And, you know, it's not really fair to him. But I will say that maybe the Mavericks got the full AD experience in the first game he played for them a couple weeks ago. What happened? He had a dominant first half, 23 points, a dozen rebounds or so. And then in the second half, he gets hurt, sustains an adductor strain, which is basically your groin. They have all these new names for all these injuries, Ron, as I'm sure yeah. you become accustomed to. I mean, you know, it's no longer it's no longer cartilage. Now it's meniscus, and it's no longer a bruise. It's a contusion. So they have all these fancy names for these things, but he strained his adductor. And so in one sense, you get AD dominating, but in the other sense, he gets hurt. And this first game for the Mavs, hasn't played since then, is still at least a couple weeks away. So yeah, he does have that label, and it does rear its ugly head from time to time. The other thing, Ron, the Lakers got about 6 years younger by doing this trade. Anthony Davis will be 32 soon. And like I said, Luka's 26 this week. So, you know, just by the flip of a couple players, Max Christie also went with Anthony Davis, another good young two-way player, as well as a first-round draft pick. But by the completion of that trade, the Lakers got 6 years younger in the superstar department. So I think you got to make that trade all day, every day. As far as Luka's conditioning, I will say that his first few games with the Lakers, he didn't look so good. I think the main reason for this is he hadn't played in 47 days.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Ron, you played for years and years, right? Yeah. If you missed 7 weeks almost with any type of injury, and for Luka, it was his calf, what does that mean? You know, he can't be riding stationary bikes, can't be doing any treadmill work. Maybe he could be doing some light swimming, a lot different than if he had a broken wrist or an elbow injury. I mean, he really was sidelined for almost 2 months. So his first few games, he looked definitely gassed. But then this shocking game in Denver just a few days ago, they go into the place that's really been a haunted house for them for years, and they won by 23, and Luka looked great. So I don't know him well enough or the people around him well enough to, or even the Dallas sources well enough to understand what the conditioning stuff might have been all about. He does miss games. There's no doubt about it. But he looks great right now, and he looks fully healthy. It's going to be really fascinating to see how the Lakers do with him in tow.
Mike, from the Mavs perspective, I mean, you know, their fans are quite angry. And yeah. I can understand, you know, like you talked about Luka's, you know, nagging injuries with the calf. Was this more about the Mavs looking at Luka and saying that he is subject to condition issues or injury issues? Or is this about the Mavs not wanting to pay that supermax contract extension?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the money on this one. Okay. Yeah, he is due a lot of money in a year. And, you know, the Mavs, they have a new owner. I don't know them real well. I know Mark Cuban pretty well. Not well enough to call him and say, what was that trade all about? But pretty well. And he was a guy who would put everything on the line. Like, he was not afraid to pay luxury taxes. He would go after the superstars. I guess it's yet to be seen what this new ownership, how they feel about it. And, you know, the Dallas fans are not happy. I think that's pretty evident. I think what cracked me up is the day the Luka trade was announced, maybe the day after, they had a mock funeral in front of the arena where the Mavericks play. Somehow a few guys got a coffin. I don't know. It was one that worked for like a mortuary or a funeral home. And they rolled it out there. They had like a mock funeral. One guy was sobbing uncontrollably. Pretty sure he was kidding. But it's like, guys, you know, you're getting two pretty good players and a first round pick. But Anthony Davis and Max Christie, they're going to really help Dallas. I think the mock funeral is a little far to go. Maybe comically, we were laughing at it a little bit. But, you know, you got to see. I always say you can't tell anything about trades for at least 2 years. Better to wait 4 or 5 years to see who really wins it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more Laker basketball with Mike Bresnahan right after this message.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we have returned. We'll see about that with Mike Bresnahan. And Mike, I got to ask you a question here. I think that right now, as far as the NBA is concerned, I think there's three teams that have kind of separated themselves from everybody else, and that would be Cleveland, Boston, and OKC. The Lakers are, you know, another 8-10 games back in that regard. They're kind of in the middle of the pack. They're like, you know, 8-9-10 overall. Do you see anybody else challenging those three? Do the Lakers have a chance to go for the title this year?
That's a really good question. And yeah, you've nailed it. You know, you and Vegas both feel the same way. I was looking at the odds just yesterday, and Cleveland and basically Vegas has said, okay, Boston and OKC are playing in the championship. They're both about 2-1 odds to win. I think Cleveland's a little back at about 6-1, and then the Lakers and Denver. And I think the Knicks are around there too at about 14-1. Yeah. So to me, I think the Lakers are currently they're championship contenders, which I had a very weird experience at the new Clipper Arena about a month ago, and the Lakers were playing there. Very nice arena, by the way. Steve Ballmer did a great job with it. But in the locker room afterwards, the Lakers lost by 15-20 points. And I went to interview Anthony Davis. He seemed pretty downcast. And then I talked to LeBron James. He said, as constituted, we are not championship contenders. And that quote kind of rang all sorts of alarm bells among Laker fans, Laker followers, as in the media. And it was a very big thing for him to say. So since then, I feel like they're in better shape because of Luka Doncic. He just does so much for you offensively. Now, the one problem for the Lakers, who's their big man? Okay, you lose Anthony Davis, that's a problem. You're already pretty short in the front court. Okay, no big deal. A few days later, they agree to a trade with Charlotte for a legit big man, Mark Williams. He gets hurt, or I shouldn't say gets hurt. He fails his physical because he's been hurt throughout this season. He's had a back issue, a foot issue. He's had a lot of things going on really over the last year or two. And the Lakers said, nope, we don't want him. So the trade deadline had already ended by the time that trade was rescinded. And so now the Lakers have Jackson Hayes at center. Been around the league 5 years, but he's really unproven as a guy who needs to play 25, maybe 30 minutes a game. I will say they're off to a good start beating Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets the other night. Jackson Hayes didn't really guard him that much. It was kind of a defense by committee. But I think the Lakers really need that one more piece, that one more big man to really be a championship contender. Otherwise, they're going to have to outscore people 130 to 129 every single night. And so far, they're doing it. They're fun to watch right now.
So give me your take on J.J. Redick's job at this point.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by him. I'll tell you a little story about him. Okay, so let's start several years back. The last two Laker coaches, Frank Vogel and Darvin Ham. Frank Vogel led them to a championship in 2020. Super chill guy. I just ran into him in CVS the other day in Manhattan Beach. We talked for a while. Ronnie, the type of guy you want to have a beer with. Right. Very low-key. There was some accountability there for sure, but he had his own coaching style. And then Darvin Ham, also very low-key, definitely would be considered a player's coach, but also, you know, not really a real time-oriented guy. More in just get it done. And then the Lakers hired J.J. Redick. And right away, I realized this guy is all about punctuality and accountability. And this is not a slight at all on Darvin or Frank Vogel. It's just like, whoa. I mean, my personal experience with him, about a week before training camp, my boss at Spectrum Sportsnet, he said, Brez, everyone calls me Brez instead of Bresnahan, go over there and get JJ for 5 minutes. Be there at 11. Great. A little one-on-one with J.J. Redick, you know, just kind of throw the microphone back and forth and see what he has to say. And I just went through, I planned on going through player by player as much as I could get in 5 minutes. So I got there at 11. He wasn't ready till 11:27. Why do I remember this? Because he came out. I made some stupid joke like, JJ, nice to meet you. This would just be like 45 minutes, maybe an hour. He said, nope, we're going to be done at 11:32. Oh. So he's that punctual. He knew 5 minutes is 5 minutes, and we definitely stuck to that 5 minutes. So he is very on point. He calls himself a sicko. He calls his staff a bunch of sickos and banshees. I picture the guy getting 2 hours of sleep every night. He really does eat basketball and breathe basketball. And I think that the results have been pretty good so far. They are, 14 games over 500, much higher than I would have thought. And really any of the basketball pundits who figured the Lakers would be right around eighth place in the West. Right now they're in fourth, and they have a good chance to move up to second by the time the season ends. And JJ, one last thing about him. You know, one third of the roster is gone from what he started with just a few months ago because of trades. And still he's acquired Luka Doncic on the fly. He's lost a lot of defense on the fly. And the job he's doing, to me, is really impressive. I don't know if he's coach of the year. Probably going to go to Kenny Atkinson in Cleveland. The job he's doing there, that team is just crushing people.
Yes, they are.
But I'm impressed by what JJ's done so far.
It's time for, I think, me to eat some crow here, Ron.
Okay.
Remember when the Lakers hired J.J. Redick, I was very skeptical about that hire.
So was I.
I think I was very derisive of him, calling him a podcast host and so on and so forth. And going back to his obsessiveness, Ramona Shelburne writes about that in her book when she wrote about the Clippers, that, yeah, he needed to have his banana, at 17 minutes after the hour, every 17 minutes after the hour, no matter what. So I do want to apologize to J.J. Redick. He's doing a fantastic job.
Well, to echo what you said, Mike, I do believe that the Lakers have outperformed what everybody thought at the beginning of the year. I was skeptical as well. I wasn't sure how well Redick would be able to fit in, considering this is LeBron's team, and they drafted LeBron's son in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence that we're doing what's in the best interests of the Lakers as it sat. And as it turns out, most of those second round picks usually go to the D League and perform, and then, they're call-up players at some point in time. But I wasn't real thrilled, but I am surprised that this has gone as well as it has. But in the end, I think you're right. Again, I think Cleveland and OKC, they're aggressive. They get after it defensively. You have to play defense down the stretch. You got to make your free throws. You got to do all the little things. And they're after it. They seem to be a lot hungrier than everybody else.
And they have defense, too, which the Lakers can only offer. They have good perimeter defenders. They made a nice trade about a month and a half ago for Dorian Finney-Smith. He's not going to win any headline awards for scoring 30 points a game, but a very good perimeter defender. And Jared Vanderbilt is healthy now, has been for a few weeks. So they have the guys perimeter-wise. I do worry about the rim protection a little bit because Oklahoma City, and Cleveland have really good bigs who can block shots and take a lot of rebounds too.
Yeah. Where do you see the Boston Celtics at this point in time?
They confused me a little bit. I thought they were going to be runaway wire-to-wire guys for a second consecutive championship. And they probably have the sixth man of the year. So I feel like they've somehow improved internally, and yet I feel like they've slowed down a little bit. They're several games behind Cleveland. The Boston Celtics are not going to win the East. Again, the guys in Vegas, they're not that concerned about that. They think Boston's still going to play OKC in the finals. Done deal. Let's just fast forward to June. But I feel like maybe there's a championship hangover that just they can't shake it. Yeah. I saw a stat the other day, like they're barely 500 since, I don't know, maybe it was one of the holidays, Christmas or New Year's. So, I think they need a little bit more rim protection. Porzingis missed the first couple months of the season. That's not going to help at all. He's a pretty good rim protector.
Yeah.
But even with him back, Ron, they're not – I haven't seen the escalation that I thought I would see with them pretty much fully healthy, and I'm a little confounded by it.
Who's the team that's under the radar right now?
Good question. I think Denver. The Lakers just pounded them the other day, like I mentioned earlier, by 23 in Denver. But that might have been an aberration. I feel like that team has more to give. They're currently second in the West, maybe third. Denver and Memphis are kind of neck and neck with the Lakers right behind them, hot on the trail. But I just feel like that team with Jamal Murray and Jokic and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., four guys who have won a championship before, I just feel like they have something to give once the games really start counting. The problem for them is their bench. you know, Russell Westbrook has been pretty good for them. Not so good with the Lakers during his almost 2 years here. But, you know, but beyond him, there's a lot of youth on that bench. They don't have an established scorer. And I think that might hurt them in the playoffs. But I think people are forgetting about them a little bit.
Brez, what's wrong with the Phoenix Suns? You got Kevin Durant, you got Booker, you got a great roster, you got one of the best training staffs of all the league, and they are not a playoff team.
I thought for sure when they got Kevin Durant, I remember walking around the newsroom at work, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to win it all. Durant, Beal, Devin Booker, Chris Paul was on the team too, right, at that time, if I'm not mistaken. At any rate, a lot of star power, and it just hasn't happened. They're another team. They really need a big man who can block shots and take up some paint because Nurkic has not been that guy. He's been injury prone. He's starting to get a little ineffective as he gets older. It's funny. One of our directors at work, our main director, he's a huge Suns fan. And every time we bring them up on the show, he's in our ear. He's like, they're not going to turn it around. It's not going to happen. They're done. And he might be right. Like they are barely hanging on. In the now expanded playoffs, right, 10 teams make it to the postseason with four of those teams battling for the last two spots. I really like that play-in tournament concept. But there's a chance Phoenix even misses out on finishing top 10, which to me would just be shocking with all that talent there. You know, yeah, I don't think it's coaching. They fired Frank Vogel halfway through last year. That's why I see him at CVS now in Los Angeles. And, you know, it hasn't been any better this year, that's for sure.
Okay, we're about ready to take another quick break, and we're going to be coming back with Mike Bresnahan, more Laker basketball, more NBA basketball right after this.
Need a little home makeover to get through the last few weeks of winter? Kohl's is having a big sale, so you can give your home a reset. Plus, Kohl's Rewards members save an extra 15% on so much to refresh your space, like stylish decor, cozy pillows, convenient storage, and so much more. So hurry to Kohl's to snag your savings before the secret's out. Select styles. Kohl's Rewards 15% off coupon valid through March 2nd. Must be a Kohl's Rewards member. Exclusions apply. Visit a store or Kohl's.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs?
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4-5 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/price match for details.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are and we are back. We'll see about that with the MVP, the champion, Ron Say. And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 2003. The new Veterans Hall of Fame selection committee, consisting mostly of Hall of Famers, selects none of the 41 players, executives, or umpires under consideration that year. Former Dodger great Gil Hodges is 11 votes shy of 75% needed for induction, receiving 50 votes of 81 cast.
And that would be later overturned because he got to the Veterans Committee and he was appropriately named to the Hall of Fame. So congratulations for finally getting Gil Hodges in. And that has just been over the last 5 years or so, I think. Okay, back to Mike. Got a question. Been a lot of complaints, maybe ours, about the All-Star game. And, you know, this runaway mess that they had for a couple of years when the score was 200 to 198.
Yeah.
No defense, shoot them up from three quarters of the floor. You know, it was a mess. The new game, the quickest to 40. What do you think of that? And also, this the lead-ups to the game, the dunk contest, man, did it ever start out bad?
Yeah, they've got to work on it. I mean, look, I was wine tasting in Paso Robles that weekend. I didn't watch much of any of it. And to be frank, I don't feel like I missed anything. Just kind of reading the reports. The players who took part in the All-Star game said there were too many stoppages in play, too many commercials. You know, I like the commissioner realizing there's an issue and trying to come up with a new format. The problem is, I'm not sure it worked. Like, the ratings were whatever. Yeah, the dunk contest has been relatively irrelevant for years. I mean, going back to when Kobe was in this thing and MJ, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm a purist of the game or anything, but the dunk contest, for whatever reason, they can't get the big names out there. The three-point contest is the only thing where they seem to get the good shooters. Why? Because a lot of them are playing in the game the next day. And it's no sweat to go around the world and shoot a few shots. And all right, you go to the next round, you do it again for another minute or two. Big deal. So it's got to be fixed. I don't know what the solution is. And I was kind of embarrassed on our air because I was asked about it. And I said, I saw highlights. You know, that's about all I can offer up. And I guess that's an indictment on how little it resonates with me. I've been around the NBA for 21 years now. Now, the Lakers in particular, I've covered many All-Star events, and it just seems like they really need to find a way to inject some life into it. Commissioner Adam Silver, I'll give him credit. He often finds a way to do this. You had the problem about 5-6 years ago. Teams were tanking at the end of the regular season. You know, we're gonna start losing games to better our draft position, of course, right?
Yeah.
How do you avoid that? Well, he created this play-in tournament that we alluded to earlier. So now it's not just, you know, 8 teams go and 7 teams are out. Now he's going to extend it to 10 teams, make the postseason, and then the bottom four fight for the 7th and 8th spot in each conference. It's a fun 4-day tournament, and I think it really works. And it's reduced the tanking simply because more teams are in the postseason, even if you only last less than a week. So something has to be done, and I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I don't have an answer either. And, you know, I was really, like I said, the whole promo for the All-Star game, when you highlight the dunk contest with Vince Carter and then it goes in the tank and you got a guy that's now a three-peat that's not even a name in the NBA that's won the dunk contest, it looks a little, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. It looks a little short. Yeah. I don't know what to do with it, but
I mean, I think the only thing they can really do is maybe move it till the off season so they can get the whole thing like about, you know, rest and load management out of the way. Also, a lot of the, as you know, Mike, you know, following JJ Redick, a lot of these NBA players are like big watch guys. So maybe like the winners of the All-Star game get custom like Patek Philippe's or something like that. I don't know how you fix it.
Well, I'll tell you what, money talks, even in the NBA, where the average salary for a player is $13 million. I would love to be average just for 1 year and get paid $13 million, right? Maybe we've got this new in-season tournament. The Lakers won it 2 years ago, and each player got $500,000. And I feel like the players were incentivized. So do we need to make the All-Star game financially incentivized? You know, maybe these guys go a little harder. And look, anyone who's in the All-Star game, they can do whatever they want because they're one of the top 25, 30 guys in the league, period. But maybe a little financial incentive. Ron, I would ask you this. as a baseball guy, I know several years ago, MLB said, okay, whoever wins the All-Star game, they get to, that conference, whichever team emerges, gets to be the home team in the World Series.
Hated it.
Okay. I've always been fascinated by it, but I've talked to enough baseball people over the years who couldn't stand it. So that could probably get a little more interest in the NBA All-Star game, but I'm sure you have your reasons for hating it.
Well, first of all, years ago, they used to have, I don't think there's a need for it anymore, to have these laden incentive contracts. And a lot of them would be, oh, if I win the MVP or if I make the All-Star team, you know, get an extra $100,000, whatever. It may have helped back then. I don't think with the amount of money that these players are making today, and especially when you have, like you said, you opened the door with, I did not know, the average salary is $13 million. That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, right.
You know, for 10, 12, 15 minutes a game. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe it's more than any other sport, probably because you have so few guys. You have 15 guys on your team.
Yeah, you'd be a low-paid Dodger at this point in time on their roster.
Right. That's crazy what they're doing financially.
Oh, my God.
Fun to watch that, too.
You know, that's, you know, what's interesting, however, is that with all this, you know, money that's been going on in baseball, and now they've got deferred payments now that are part of the packages.
Right.
ESPN just dropped a bomb the other day. They're going to opt out after 2025.
I did see that.
And so you're talking about $550 million a year for broadcasting or something like that?
Yeah.
They're gone after this. They're opting out. That was the part of the bargain. I don't know where that's going to be made up, but it certainly opens one's eyes when all of a sudden you've got this character saying, we're not going to participate after 2025. You're on your own.
It's a pretty big name.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of money involved. And, you know, I had heard through the grapevine that the projections were that baseball revenue was going to drop 20 to 25% over the next 5 years. Maybe that had something to do with ESPN just dropping out of the picture. I don't know where that leaves it, but it's certainly not a healthy financial picture for baseball. I don't know what kind of an arrangement that the NBA has, but if it goes in pecking order, I believe the NBA is third behind baseball and football, the NFL, for revenue. That could significantly change for baseball if that's going to drop. So it's a little unpredictable at the moment. But, there's a ton of money to be made, and what is your take on these max contracts? I mean, these things are absolutely mind-boggling to figure out.
Yeah, like the Supermax in particular for guys like Luka, who had been first team All-NBA or second team, I believe you're also allowed to be. If you're basically one of the top 10 players in the league for, I believe it's 2 years in a row, don't quote me on that, then you're eligible for a massive pay raise when your next contract comes up. And yeah, it's a big, big deal for the league. As you can tell, I personally think that's one of the reasons why Dallas dealt Luka. You know, their TV rights aren't the same as, say, the Lakers or the New York Knicks. Yeah, big city market, no doubt about it. And, you know, I would not be surprised if that came out as well. Let's put it this way. I don't think it's just conditioning, right? I don't know the inner workings of the Dallas Mavericks. But it seemed like there was some financial reasoning for that trade to happen, too. So money is starting to really take a hold of certain things that certain teams do in the NBA, which is it's not new. It's not a novel concept, but it definitely surprised some people that Luka got moved 1 year before that Supermax contract would kick in.
That would have been 5 years, $352 million, I believe, for the Supermax.
What Ron got in his last contract.
I think so, too. Yeah, adjusted for inflation, for sure. Brez, what do you think about speaking of baseball, do you think that if the NBA, and I know a lot of players' agents want this, to really go to an unrestricted salary system where there is no first apron, there is no luxury tax, none of that is what baseball has, do you think that would ruin the competitive balance of the league?
Yeah, I kind of like how it's kind of like the NFL. Green Bay is better than the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. It's not even close. You know, I went to school in Wisconsin. I'm a Badger. I went to a game in Green Bay, and I'm like, how many people live in this town? 12? And I had a great time, but I do like that a small team can rise up and be what it is in the NFL. And you see shades of it, too, in the NBA. We've already talked about Oklahoma City. You know, that's a very small market. Yeah. San Antonio, for years, was winning championship after championship with Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, and Manu Ginobili. And why is that? Because there is the element of a restrictor plate, for lack of a better phrase, on the NBA teams that allow small market teams. And look, even Cleveland, you know, I don't know their TV contract, but they're not a top 10 market. So the fact that they're leading the East is actually pretty impressive to me. So I kind of like that I think the second apron, you know, without getting into the minutia, but the new restrictions in place, we'll call it, to kind of penalize the big spenders in the NBA. It might be a little too strict, but I do like that small market teams, Milwaukee Bucks, another one, just won their championship for the first time in 50 years, not that long ago. They can compete with the New York's, Chicago's, and LA's of the NBA, and I like that.
Well, that's a pretty good take on that, for sure. You know, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned to you that you're a Wisconsin Badger. My wife is a Wisconsin Badger. She grew up in Chicago, and this was a long time ago, however, back when Wisconsin wasn't winning any football games, and now they've got a top 25 program. Their basketball program seems to be healthy and well. Mm-hmm. How was your time at Wisconsin shortly? We're going to have to wrap it up here.
Sure. Had a great time. Grew up in L.A. Went to school in Sherman Oaks for high school. And I decided, both my parents are from the Midwest, we were there a lot, I'm going to go out to Wisconsin for college. Had a great time. The team was 1-10 my first year. Yeah. So it was 1989. I'll never forget, Ron. We played top-ranked Miami, maybe second-ranked Miami. They were in Madison, first game I ever attended. Wisconsin scored first. A bunch of roughing the passer penalties and late hits. Wisconsin drives down the field, takes a field goal. I'm loving life. I'm away from home. I'm in the middle of Wisconsin. We're going to upset one of the top teams in the country. And we lost that day 51-3.
Oh, wow.
So kind of an induction into Wisconsin football.
No question.
The chant in the student section that afternoon, of course, was, "We scored first." So I felt some bleak years, but by the time I graduated there, they actually came out here and won the Rose Bowl in 94. Yep, I was on the five-year plan, and they beat the Bruins. So it was fun to kind of see the slow, gradual ascension of Wisconsin football.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here, Mike. Thanks so much for your insight to Laker basketball. Hope all the Laker fans out there enjoyed your conversation with us. Good luck to you in the future, and it's great having you on the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Mike Bresnahan, ladies and gentlemen, and that's it for this portion of We'll See About That. We'll take a break and be right back after this. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Okay, we're back. We'll see about that. We're about ready to wrap things up, but I do want to remind you to please visit my website, theronsayshow.com. Over there, you will find my book, Penguin Power, and a number of options for multiple signing issues. And the podcast is also has a menu and a list of all of our past guests and can be accessed from the site itself. You know where to reach me on Instagram, the official Ron Say, and if you want to reach out for a special request, you can reach me on Cameo. So, you know, spring training has begun. The Dodgers are off to a bit of a slow start. Not to, that it matters any, because I don't think Ohtani or Freeman have played hardly at all up to this point. None of their star pitchers have worked more than, you know, maybe one outing. I think that they're just tuning it up. They do spring training so much differently today than we used to do it. So.
In what sense?
You know, we got after it. Our regulars were playing, you know, at least every other day from the get-go, you know. And we had a Sunday televised game that was always we always knew we were going to play in Vero Beach on Sunday, because that's when the broadcast would come back to Los Angeles, and that's when they expected the starting lineup to be in the games, even if it's the first week of spring training. Just to give our folks an opportunity to see what we've got going. And, you know, they got a little bit – the media got a little bit, you know, uppity, you know, if we weren't, you know, playing like we should. You know, the best thing to do in spring training, just play 500. Then nobody's got anything to complain about it, because it doesn't matter anyway. All you're trying to do is get ready, and you're on a time schedule. And for me, that was about a week before spring training would end. I would have to see if I was where I wanted to be, and if not, just tune it up a little bit.
How many at-bats do you think you needed to really, you know, get in gear for the season?
Around 50, yeah. Just to, you know, be able to see some, you know, starters, left-handers, right-handers, relief pitchers, you know, get a mixture of pitches that you, you know, are trying to catch up with. And, yeah, just there's a lot of extra work to be done. The focus isn't as high as it will be once the season started. You know, you get your two at-bats, five innings, five and fly was the name. Then you go do your extra work. You go to the cage or you go to the other fields and do your stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure they're progressing along, but they have a ton of players also in spring training now that we never had. They got like 100 guys in spring training, I think it is. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be back next week. I will have returned from my book signing in Cabo Mac Ranch, and I hope you'll join us next week when we have Justin Dado, who has a legacy at USC, next week.